Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone. It's Mary Lurson with the NAMM Foundation, and welcome to this episode of the NAMM Foundation's podcast, Talking Up Music Education. I'm sitting here with, drumroll please, Victor Wooten, remarkable bass player and jazz musician and music educator. And we're sitting in a lovely acoustic booth with a window out onto the main street of the NAMM show.
That's right.
It's kind of like sitting on a front porch, isn't
it? Yeah, or the zoo.
Yeah, or the zoo. Like we're in the cage. But Victor, you want to tell us what you're seeing? Maybe just reflect to the audience what we're actually looking at.
Man, there's people walking by. We're looking through a glass window, and there's a wall of cymbals at the Sabian, what's that say? Unbound.
Sabian Unbound.
Booth, but a wall probably 15 feet high of cymbals. Yeah, it looks like the drum place. Remo is there.
And all someone just gave you a
Vic
hug.
Firth. There's a guy out there sending me a virtual hug.
Yeah.
Peace to you, my brother.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's very cool.
It's cool. This is the day four of the NAMM show here in Anaheim, California. Have you been to every NAMM show, Victor?
Not everyone. I've been in working with a company called Hartke, makes bass amps, for the last 10 years or so, maybe 12. And I've been here that many years because I always come every year I can to help support them.
Right. Well, you need to come every year regardless.
Okay? I do my best.
Yeah,
I do
to help best. Us with our music education work, too.
Thank you.
So when did the bass come into your life, Victor? And who helped you get that bass into your hands?
Right. My story is a little different.
Yeah.
And I was very fortunate. I'm the youngest of five brothers who all play music. Reggie on guitar. Roy, known as Future Man, he plays with Bela Fleck and the Flecktones also. So we get to play together there. My brother Rudy, who we lost in 2010, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Was our sax player. And then Joseph is a keyboard player. Joseph's been playing with the Steve Miller Band since 1993. Mm-hmm. So I'm the youngest, so when I was born,
you were the baby.
They needed a bass player.
Oh my goodness!
True story.
Now, what's the age range from top to bottom?
So not that much. I'm the youngest. My oldest brother Reggie, who taught me, is only 8 years older than me.
So that was they needed the band was forming, and they needed the instrumentation had to be filled out.
So get this. This is amazing, right? Reggie's about 10 years old. I'm only two. He starts teaching me to play the bass. Joseph is five. He's teaching Joseph to play the keyboards. When I'm five, we're living in Sacramento now. Dad was military, so we moved a lot. We're living in Sacramento. We get the gig as Curtis Mayfield, soul singer, his opening band, opening act on the West Coast for his Superfly tour. So I'm five. Reggie's now 13. And I tell people that, and they say, wow, you were five. How'd you hold the bass? They start talking about me. The real story is, how was Reggie, a 10-year-old boy, able to get his younger brothers good enough in just a few short years to be on this major tour? That's the real story.
And so what is that story? Was it just like, find the groove, feel the groove, here's the chords?
Sure. Here's the easiest way to explain it in my mind. When you're 5 years old, you can speak very clear English. You can express yourself and everybody understands you. And it wasn't difficult. It was easy because you were born into it. Everyone around you was talking and no one excluded you. No one made you feel like a beginner. No one said, here's your practice for today. Go in the room and say your vowels over and over. You just talked and you were allowed to do it your way.
You just walked into a musical language and you just found your level, and people, you made a little bit of a flick in the wrong direction. Someone just said, no, this is the, and then you just kept going.
Sure,
right?
Sure. I was so included cool. The same way a baby's included into the conversation.
Right.
Yeah. So that was the same natural process. I was literally learning to speak English and music at the same time. And more importantly, in the same way.
You know, I was just had a quick podcast with someone. They asked me what my three wishes were for music education. And I said, well, one is that every single child in the world would walk into a situation in their either family or in their education situation where there was music learning centers.
Sure.
Where they were, that they were learning and playing and making music as a facility of their just everyday life.
Yeah.
In the same way they were learning language and storytelling and everything was just part of it.
I agree. I love that. But we would have to make sure that they're just allowed to do it.
Music learning, a music play center. But with really lovely sounding instruments.
Sure.
So they were playing with sound and they were creating and they were amplifying what was inside of them. And they were,
I would love that. I would love that. Because I was telling a guy in an email today who was asking me about education. You don't have to teach kids how to play together at a playground. They just naturally do it. The younger, the better. Before they understand the rules and skin color and what I'm not supposed to do, you don't have to teach a kid how to get along and how to play.
Yeah.
Music's really the same.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You put a kid in a room with some sound makers, they're going to make sound.
Yeah.
And I believe, and again, I talk as if I'm right. Doesn't mean I am.
Yeah, but
I just believe what I say.
But it's something you feel really deeply.
I feel deeply about.
And it's your experience.
True.
Too, right?
I just think we start teaching too soon.
As opposed to playing and creating.
Right. We start correcting.
Right.
Oh, it's a C major scale. Don't put a C sharp in it, you know. And what ends up happening is in the beginning, when you start learning rules, of course, you're going to be more wrong than you are right. And what happens, whether it's a kid or an adult, they start hearing how wrong they are over and over. And now we're not playing for the love that brought us to music in the first place. Now we're playing just not to be wrong in front of our teacher. And who's going to keep doing that?
Yeah.
Most people quit.
It's an attitude shift, right? Let's make it a welcoming experience. Let's make it an experimental experience.
Totally.
Let's make it a playful experience.
Right. Where we focus on your strengths and your weaknesses.
A creative experience.
Right.
And then along the way, you decide that you want to, you know, go pursue something very precise and quote unquote classical and a Western music. There's a place for you.
Sure.
That will help get you in that groove.
Absolutely.
But I think it is changing. Do you have a sense that it's changing? I know you're making a big contribution to everything that you're doing, but I think the brain science is telling us this. The learning theory is telling us this. We're being guided by really great and creative music teachers that build these elite programs, but they start with everybody in the pool.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Exactly. I agree with you. It is changing.
Yeah.
In a good way.
But I think we have to keep leading and pushing on that change.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So good old-fashioned classically trained musicians like me will never be afraid to improvise, which we were scared to death of.
Yeah, because we have to do it right.
But why should that be? You know, it's
we're told that we have to improvise a certain way.
We felt so limited.
Yeah.
Right?
But improvising should be the easiest part.
Yeah.
This is the chance you can do whatever you want, right or wrong.
Yeah.
Play what you want.
Within that really cool framework called the chord progression.
But it doesn't have to be in the chord progression. That's the thing. Yeah. If you have to learn the chord progression before you play, I mean, every there's only 12 notes, and 7 of them are diatonic. 7 of them are in the key.
Right.
That means even if I guess, more than half of the notes are in the key.
Yeah.
And then the one that's not, it's only a half step away from one that is. But when you're listening to music and then you go, ooh, what was that? Guaranteed, that's a non-diatonic note. The notes that move you are the ones that aren't in the key. But if you're a beginner, we don't let you use those yet. You have to wait until you're in the high levels of jazz or classical to be able to introduce those again. But in language, we teach you every letter of the alphabet. We don't make you wait to learn X, Z, or Q. You learn them all. And then you can spell anything. But in music, there's right notes and wrong notes.
Yeah. And we have to eliminate that, essentially.
Well, I think it would be easier if we did.
Yeah.
Let the kids choose which ones they like.
There would be more options.
Of course. There'd
be more experimentation.
Right. Yeah. Think about it. There's only 12 notes, and we're trying to teach people to speak with only 12 notes. Right? If you play, and I do this as a demonstration, I'll have someone give me a key. And then I'll tell me what I say, I'm going to solo. Tell me what notes I can use. And they tell me, let's say I'm going to play in G minor or something. They'll tell me G, A, B flat, and so on. And I say, great, those are the notes I can use to solo. I'm going to solo for you, but I'm not going to use any of those notes. I'm only going to use the five notes you didn't mention. And I take a solo and make them love it. And then I ask them why they love it. And they'll say, well, it felt good. Okay, feel. Well, the rhythm was good. Okay, rhythm. You know, and we go through all the things.
Texture.
Outside of, yes.
Texture.
The things we don't teach.
Layering.
We teach you that the note has to be right. And what I show them is that if the other things are right, the note can be whatever you want.
You know, I had along the way, because I hang out with some music researchers too, and someone who was kind of at the end of his career, really thoughtful guy. He said, my biggest crisis in my teaching is I realized I wasn't teaching anybody music. So I might as well be teaching them typing.
There we go.
because he was teaching instrumental music and the rudiments of the instruments.
Fingering, we teach instruments.
And he said, I realized I hadn't touched on anything.
Right.
That about how this person was going to have this well-rounded musical life.
Nice.
And that's what's changed.
Right.
I think the rubric now in teaching has become you teach the whole musical opportunity.
Right.
Not just the rubric. He said, I spent most of my life like I was a typewriter teacher.
Right. Right, we're teaching the instrument rather than musical. People want to express themselves. Right. People want to feel something. People want to collaborate. And now understanding the instrument is important. But you don't teach a kid how to paint by teaching them how to hold a brush.
Right.
You let them paint. And then we don't celebrate the outcome. We celebrate their input. Just because they tried, we'll put that painting on the wall, and it's probably your kindergarten painting. Your parents still have it.
Oh, yeah. The house is full.
Yeah. Right.
Not because it's the most
beautiful painting.
Yeah.
It's because of what you put into it. If we started kids with music there and celebrate what they put into it, then they'll keep going.
Yeah.
And the output will grow because the input is always there.
Boy, so perfectly put. Tell us about the summer camps you do.
Sure.
Where are they? Who attends?
All right. Nice.
Do they all live in the woods? Do you have campfires?
I mean, all of the above.
Who cooks? I mean, yes.
Absolutely. You know, yeah.
Tell us how many years.
Yeah. This is we're starting our 21st year. And we do camps every month, April through October. It's a different topic every month. Camps will run from a 3-day camp to a 7-day camp, depending on which one you come to. Sometimes we'll do some camps that are back to back. So if you sign up for multiple camps, you can have a 2 or 3 week experience. And that usually appeals to people who come from another country. They want to hang for longer.
Right. Right.
But it's open to anyone. We don't have you audition. We're more interested in your desire to learn and to express yourself. And if you have that, you'll get there. Doesn't have to take long. And again, we do different topics. We started in the year 2000 with a bass camp, all bass players. But I call the camps, like the bass camp is called the bass/nature camp.
Because nature's
the key. Nature is the key.
Having a little room around you, right?
Bingo.
You need it. Having a little air over the top of your head.
Absolutely.
Let's take a little walk and talk about it. Think about that, right?
Absolutely.
Isn't that cool?
Because
you do this outside of Nashville?
Totally.
Somewhere?
Just outside, a little west of Nashville, and we have our own location, a place we call Wooten Woods, 150-acre retreat center on the Duck River.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we have cabins, so we all sleep there. I'm there 100% of the time. We have an amazing chef. So we have a full industrial kitchen, a big stage with, you know, all the gear you'll ever need.
So how many people attend at a time?
Sure. We cap most camps at 60.
So it has a real workshop feel,
yes.
A real intimate.
Yes.
You're there to,
bingo.
You know, you're
yes.
not just, you're really there.
You're
engaged.
There. So you get to know everyone. The instructors are there. We have, you know, we have meals together. We start early, we go late. And so the, I don't know what the word is, mystique or whatever. You know, like Marcus Miller, famous bass player, one of my heroes, was just there. And he stayed for a day and a half. So after a while, the oh, that's Marcus Miller, that goes away.
Here's a musician.
Right. But here's the coolest thing about it. When you're at our camps and you see me or Marcus or Stanley Clark or Dennis Chambers or whoever it is, right, who they are, who these stars are, it's not that they diminish. It's that you as a student, you rise up and you realize they're regular people and so am I. I can do this, right?
We have a shared language.
That's it.
Our language of our passion.
Right, because you're hanging with them, you're jamming with them, you're eating with them.
So can I come?
You're totally invited.
Oh, I want to
totally
come.
Invited. You really should.
I want to come.
You would have a whole lot to share with the
well,
students.
Well, maybe, but I mean, I would just want to just soak it in.
You
so,
can't.
So do you jam like all night? When does anybody sleep?
Yeah, we force the jamming to stop at midnight.
Oh, yeah.
We force it to stop at midnight just so, and we, you know, and unless it's our kids' camp, that goes down to eight, I think.
Which is a little more structured, right? A little more nurturing.
We have a lights out.
Yeah,
you know, right. You have to be in your cabin by this time.
Just
lights
like
have
camp.
To be out.
Yeah, yeah.
There's you know, what do you call it? Chaperones
right,
in your
right,
cabin
right.
taking roll call.
Right, right.
Most of our camps are age 15 and up. We want you to be adults.
Yeah.
Right. We don't have a lot of rules. We have a few. You know, if you're going to smoke, it's only over there. In this one location. But people act incredibly right without us having to say it.
You rise to the level of expectation and atmosphere.
Exactly. In many cases, my bass is sitting out or hanging up on the stage all night, overnight.
Yeah.
I tell you, play it. Yeah, you can play it. And it's there when I come back.
Yeah.
People know how to act.
Yeah.
My mom would always say, if you give kids opportunities to be bad, they will.
Yeah.
But if you give them opportunities to be good, they will.
You've always exuded such great energy, but you exude all that great energy of the youngest child. I mean, you do. You came into a family of such positive expectations.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, we want every music experience for kids, you know, from the little, just it's positive expectations.
I love the way you say that. Positive expectations.
It's just, you know, you are
yes.
here and we respect each other.
Right.
And you are here by not necessarily by choice, but you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm coming to your camp.
Please do. You have an open
I'll volunteer.
Invitation.
I can volunteer. I'll be a volunteer and can walk around with a clipboard and said, do we have your medical form?
Right. Oh, right, right.
Because,
yes.
you know, when you
yes.
do state public service and you
have
to do
all of that.
You have
yes.
to do all of that.
That has to come in way before so our chefs know what to make.
But, you know, really good on you that you've sustained something like this for 21 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
good on you
to
run the bases to make sure that it has all the opportunity and yet at the same time all the human safe things and young people there.
Right.
And.
Right.
You know, I mean,
I have to say, there's a lot
easy.
Of help.
Yeah.
There's a lot of help. It's not easy, but most things that are rewarding
are not.
Yeah.
Let's just put it out there.
But yeah, I have my wife, my manager who's right here. We have a whole bunch of volunteers, our instructors. And, you know,
I have another love coming through.
Hey, what's up, James?
We got to share the love.
Oh, that's one of the guys right there. Steve Onheiser has helped us build the camp, literally. From the year.
And he's got a hammer. He's hammering through
these guys, right? Straight out of Wooten Woods. He's wearing his shirt.
Another,
that's our place, Wooten Woods.
Oh,
yes.
I love it.
These are the guys.
It's our front porch here.
That somewhere. Will come. That guy, Steve, who just walked by, amazing. He's a drummer. He's invented a great thing for drums called a grumble. He's invented some great products. But he'll just call me any time of the year.
What do you need?
Yeah. He'll tell me. He said, I'm coming down with some carpet. Your stage needs carpet.
Huh.
I just found this industrial carpet. And, or your stage needs a curtain around the back of it. I just came across this curtain. I'm coming in December 5th. Is that okay? I know the camp's closed. Okay, Steve, here's where the key is. He's
Isn't
one
that
of
amazing?
Those guys.
I mean, you're also talking about what happens when you create this opportunity. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you expect your opportunity, this expectation, this community builds around it.
Yes.
And people just contribute
right.
just from their heart.
Giving
right?
is contagious
yeah.
and infectious. It feels so good to give a gift. And, you know, my mom, when she was alive, she would be at the camps. And when we bought our first location that we now call Wooten Woods, we had a big open house barn raising building. And we invited the people from the last 8 years of camps come join us at our new location, bring any friends you want, and we're going to build for a weekend. And we had a guy fly over from Singapore just for the weekend with his own hammer, literally.
Yeah.
And we built and we raised two buildings over the weekend. And that guy, Steve, is walking by again. Yeah. He says he's going to call me.
Yeah.
We put him in charge of one of the buildings that we're still using. But my mom sat there and laughed because people would work, sweat for free monetarily and then come and thank me.
Oh, wow.
And mom was, she was just laughing.
That would have meant so much to her.
It did. She had a saying, she had a ton of saying, but she would say, boy, you must be living right.
Yeah.
You know, because she says, if you treat life right, life will treat you right.
Yeah.
And we had people coming from around the world to build this place, which was just a dream of mine. I don't know how to build anything.
Yeah.
But life provided it.
You kind of do. And you did. And you are.
With the help.
Right. And, you know, it's like you dreamed it and you built it. And, you know, build it, they will come.
That's it.
But they will come to build it.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
But as my mom would also put, it depends on, you can build anything. I mean, it doesn't have to be positive. It can be negative. And that attracts also.
Right.
You know, but my mom would also say, we have enough people leading the world down.
Yeah.
We need more people leading the way up.
Yeah. I'm going to remember that. So who are some of your musical heroes? Did you hear one yesterday?
I've seen quite a few.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a bunch of them walking around here. But it definitely starts with my brothers.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, my four brothers who, for me, were like four extra parents.
Yeah.
They never treated me as a beginner. They included me in everything.
They must have said, you know, the fifth boy was born and goes, yes, we finally got our bass player.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. That's the way they still treat me that way.
I just love that.
You know, we weren't allowed to fight, so we never did.
Yeah.
We weren't even allowed to argue.
Yeah.
We could disagree, but parents wouldn't let us argue.
Yeah, they'd talk it out.
So we were good kids.
Yeah.
We got along in. You know, people would always say, you're the youngest. You probably never got to eat. You know, you got picked on. Totally the opposite.
Right.
You know, I don't know that.
You.
Oh, and still do.
Yeah.
I can only imagine if there was only enough food for one, I would have been the one to get it. That's the way they look at their younger brothers. You know, it's just the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're my total first heroes.
They're the hero line. Yeah.
But, you know, I've seen, like I said, I've seen Marcus Miller walking around. Bernie Williams, I know he's going to be here, I think, later today. I know him as a baseball player.
And he's on the board of our foundation.
We talked about it.
He's giving us such service and such support.
He's amazing.
He's gone to Washington with us for 10 years, which you should too, Victor.
I'd love to.
We will take you and show you too that this is not everything that we see.
Yeah. It's
a fabric of people.
I would love to. Bernie and I and his manager had a great conversation the other day about education.
That's great.
And about bringing him to Tennessee to our camps.
He has so much
to offer. But I will say this, Bernie is really like kind of like one of my most valuable players, because he has grown musically so rapidly since he's quit playing baseball.
And he went to the Manhattan School of Music
and did
the formal training, you know.
He wanted
his college degree.
Right.
It was wonderful.
He could already play.
Yeah.
But now his playing is taking another level because now he's really getting academic about it. He played first.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's studying.
Right. And he did music history.
Absolutely.
He had to do music theory.
Yes.
He had to take apart all the Bach fugues.
And now he's talking about going to get his master's.
I know.
Right.
It's really great.
So it's just my beliefs. I believe if you do it in the right order, you will crave education.
Yeah.
You will crave the academics, because now the academics relates to what you're already doing. And I heard Bernie last year, and hearing him this year, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So it shows what you can do.
Right.
And we have to be careful of not squishing that love of the challenge, of the academics, of more out of our kids by forcing it on them too soon.
Yeah. Wonderful words. So we want to be thoughtful of your time. Tell us what's next for you in terms of, you know, give us the Victor Wooten musician.
Sure.
Where you're headed, who you're playing with, where can we hear you, how do we follow you?
Well, I'll go through it quickly.
Yeah.
because I have to go to a gig.
Yeah, I know. We want to know. Yeah.
People can find out all about it at victorwooten.com. And Wooten is W-O-O-T-E-N. Okay. VictorWooten.com has my schedule, has the camp schedule.
Great.
The camps start in April and they go through October every month.
Great.
Different topics. I'm going today to play with a project called Bass Extremes. My good friend Steve Bailey, who I met in the early 90s, and he came up with the idea of recording a two bass project.
Oh, wow.
With Greg Bissonette on drums. It took off. It was a great instructional project for the company, one of the biggest instructional videos at the time that they had. We're still doing that. We're playing at Catalina's tonight, which is the Sunday of NAMM show in Hollywood. Then I go on to do my monthly week at Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Oh, great.
I teach there a Monday through Friday every month.
Big time.
And my friend, I was talking about Steve Bailey, he's the chair of the bass department.
Oh, wonderful.
So he has me there and I get to share these kind of things with the students there. I also just finished writing a concerto for the Chicago Sinfonietta.
Oh, beautiful.
For bass and orchestra, a three-movement piece that I'll perform in May with them.
Fantastic.
I also just signed a deal with a great publisher to release my second novel, which is the sequel to the first one. The first one called The Music Lesson, A Spiritual Search for Growth Through Music, which has shocked me because schools, including Berklee and Stanford, have it as mandatory reading for their students, and not only music students. I love that.
Hmm.
Not only music students are getting something out of it.
I can't wait to get my hands on it myself.
Yeah, it's a written book or audio. Yeah. You can listen to it. And it's a novel. It's a story about music.
Yeah.
So I put the lessons into a story form, so you don't have to take them as seriously.
Which is a lot more palatable and meaningful.
I think so.
Yeah.
So it's fun stuff. And, you know, I always look forward to getting home with my wife and my four kids.
Your four kids.
Four kids.
They have a band too?
You know what? They used to play together a lot, but now one of them just graduated NYU. She's living in New York.
Yeah.
The other one just started the University of Michigan.
Right.
He's a drummer and a gymnast.
Yeah.
So he had his first competition with the University of Michigan in Chicago yesterday. The other two are at home. They're in 11th and 9th grade in high school.
Yeah.
But they're all musical.
So they have that band at home. That
yes.
You continued that generation.
Sure, but it's up
siblings.
To them. But they chose to do it, yes.
Oh, Victor, you're such an inspiration to all of us. Not just your music, but I don't know, the generosity that you brought to the world and the generosity you bring to all of us who interact with you.
Thank you, Mary. I say the same about you.
It meant so much to me that you were at our grand rally yesterday.
Absolutely.
You know, knowing all the other places you could be that... You could see that's what gives me hope is that energy of people coming together. I think we're working more deliberately.
Absolutely.
For opportunity.
Absolutely.
and wrapping our arms around
this
opportunity for every child and every person.
And you're at the forefront of that, making it happen.
Well,
you know, some of us artists, we may have ideas, we may be creative, but we may not know how to get in front of the world, and you're making it happen for us and Bobby McFerrin yesterday. So we thank you for that.
Yeah, well, we'll pull you closer to our world.
Great.
And then I'm going to come to Wooten Woods.
We're going to hold you to that.
I think
please.
I need that. You know, I was a classically trained flutist. I play ukulele, guitar.
Nice.
But way deep down, I'm a pretty serious singer. And
great.
Those jazz standards and all of that. Every now and then I have a need to take off. So
do it.
Maybe I could rediscover that, huh?
You should.
Make a little pledge that.
You should. Start in the comfort of the privacy of your home sing.
I do a lot of that.
Good.
I think I'm always afraid that people walking by my house will go, what's going on in there?
Exactly.
Because I sing very loudly.
Now, here's the thing. A kid wouldn't think that. A kid wouldn't care what anybody else thought.
Right.
So where did that come from and how can we get rid of it?
So I'm going to work on that.
We got to get rid of it.
I'm working on
that. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So ladies and gentlemen, this has just been such a pleasure to have at Talking Music Education, Victor Wooten. I would say one of the world's premier bassists of all the other, you know, a remarkable gentleman, a generous citizen of the world, changing the world one bass note at a time.
Low notes
at a time.
thank
so thank you,
Mary.
You for joining us for Talking at Music Education. here live at the NAMM Show, day four. It's almost a wrap for us.
That's right.
And thank you for joining us at Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
Thank you.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.